Blog Talk Radio.
Of preparing for our winter conference. And it takes a lot of great deal of preparation for our conferences, not only in bringing forth the many various subjects that we're going to discuss, we have to study and be prepared, but also there's many other behind the scenes things that has to be done to make sure that everyone that's coming to the conference have what they call the life of their time or time of their life. Great experience, fellowship, and learning. Of course, we'll be dealing with four different subjects at this year's conference, winter conference. Number one, what is a saint? And we're going to go into great deals about what is a saint. If you believe you're one, if you believe that you need to know what it is, if you believe you fulfill the very signs of a saint, then that's good. But we're going to discuss it in great detail. Since the Almighty said, gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And we're going to go into a great deal about a saint. Furthermore, we're going to discuss what is Jacob's trouble. And as I've been letting you know, there's a difference between Jacob trouble and world trouble. And we're going to highlight the differences, and we're going to be very specific about what Jacob's trouble is. Does the scripture tell you what Jacob's trouble is, other than saying Jacob's trouble? And is Jacob's trouble all the things you've been hearing from other people about the grids going out and food shortages and all kind of other things? What we're going to see? We're going to see exactly what you should be preparing for. Number three, what is the day of Yah? Is the day of Yah and the day of trouble the same, or Jacob's trouble the same? Or is the day of Yah something totally different? And then the other thing, the last thing that we're going to be discussing is, how will the children of Israel be gathered together? Will it be Yah himself, or will it be his servant? We're going to discuss these things. Now, why is that important to know whether it's Yah or whether it's servant? As I stated to you before, oftentimes people will look for things that isn't coming. And so it's important for you to know the truth so you'll know exactly what to look for. And we're going to bring these truths to you. And the only way we can do it is the Almighty show us. So we're going to talk about these things, discuss them in great detail. So in our preparation for the conference, there's a lot of things we have to do. But we're not going to stop bringing forth the various things that we're talking about now. But it will be a little bit scaled back, but not much. So, for example, this week we will be discussing the virtuous women of the scriptures. I know you might have seen another message on the board, and at the last minute I changed, and we'll update all that information. But we'll be discussing the virtuous women of the scriptures. Now, it's real important to know about these women, because the scriptures say, a virtuous woman who can find? So we're going to talk about these virtuous women, and we're going to see if you have anything in common with them. And as a matter of fact, there's going to come a time, according to the scriptures, that it will only be certain women and certain men that exist. And you want to familiarize yourselves with these women and men because they will make up Yah's remnant. We're also going to be bringing to you the faithful men of the scriptures. Since the scripture says, who can find a faithful man? Now, how does that scripture say? What? How do they say that scripture? A faithful man, who can find? See, in the women, it says, who can find a virtuous woman? But a man, it says, a faithful man, who can find? And you don't have to ask me. All you got to do is ask the women in the Israelite community. Now, I'm not talking about no other community because no other community know how to be faithful. So there's no sense in me talking about them. Being amongst the Israelites, the question must be asked, a faithful man who can find. And we're going to talk about the faithful men in the scriptures. And we want to see if you have anything in common with these men. Furthermore, we're going to bring to you, as it says in the scriptures, raise a child in the way it should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart thereof. And we're going to discuss how one must raise their children. Today, what we're doing to our children is an outright total abomination, and it goes totally against the Creator's word. And we're going to show you how you start off teaching your children against Yah. This is why many of the Israelite children that have been raised as an Israelite, oftentimes you'll see them depart in a very negative way. They don't want to have nothing to do with Yah. And we're going to bring to you why. Why this is the case. And why do our children become consumed by the nations? We're going to bring that to you. Also, not just talking about the women, not just talking about the men, not just talking about our children. Another subject that we're going to bring to you is what is the true culture of Israel? We have the laws, we have the commandments, we have the statutes, we have the judgments. We have the testimonies, but what is our culture? Culture is it's like a simple way of life. It's when you see a particular people and they look a certain way, dress a certain way, act a certain way, do things a certain way, because they are family. They are a people. Well, what is our culture that we do that's different than everybody else? And we're going to talk about the culture of Israel. So these are some of the various things that we want to bring to you in the next few weeks so that you can get a complete outlook on an Israelite as well as their culture. But first, a virtuous woman, who can find?
Of course, this
question is befitting, because oftentimes I ask sisters, many sisters, ask them, do they know Proverbs 31, and can they recite it? And the mass majority of them, 99.9% of them, 99.99, just could not. Now, of course, I ain't asked all women, but they just simply could not. And let me tell you, 99.99 didn't even try to. I was shocked, though, that one was able to do it. It totally shocked me. And which bodes the fact that what the scripture is saying, a virtuous woman, who can find? One say, just because somebody know about heart, that don't mean they a virtuous woman. And they absolutely correct. That don't mean nothing. Other than the fact that if you know about heart, it only means, it only means that you took time to learn it. And if you don't know it, why don't you? What is it about this woman that you don't want to be or become? Since she is holy, this woman is very holy. And so as I began to meditate on the various women of the scriptures, in particularly the virtuous women of the scriptures, let me tell you the very first one that comes to mind. Not only is she the very first one that came to mind, but when I began to study and look at her life, I began to, certain virtues popped out at me since I know Proverbs 31. And these virtues popped right out at me. And I'm going to let you know who this woman is. And again, every woman that we bring to you, all you have to do is ask yourself, do you have anything in common with her? Of course, Yah never made a woman for her to be by herself, to be a woman that's just part of a women's group and the women be her companions. No, Yahweh never intended for other women to be the companion of a woman. No, Yahweh made a woman for man. And Yahweh, when he made a man, he said a man shall not, is not good that a man should even be alone. So you might ask yourself, well, why aren't the men trying to find them virtuous women? And why aren't the women trying to become virtuous women that they might be found? Why aren't the men marrying these women? And why aren't the women making themselves available to be married? What is going on in society, and in particularly the Israelite community, that women just, they okay with not having a man? What is okay about that? And what, and how is it okay that a man don't have a woman? Just show you a couple of scriptures before I show you this woman. And you'll find it in the book of Genesis, the second chapter. Turn there. I may add, this is one of the, we can talk about day and night, we can talk about the months and the moons, we can talk about the holy days, we can talk about any subject, we can even talk about the Old Testament and the New Testament. But there are no, this is probably the most widely talked about subject in the whole entire book, and that is the relationship between man and woman. There is no greater subject. Of course, I can understand why. But this is what it says in Genesis, the second chapter. And I want you to start reading for me at the 18th verse. We're going to get right into it.
And Yahweh said, it is not good that man should be alone.
Now, that's just an emphatic statement that Yahweh said. It is not good that man should be alone. So if you're a Catholic priest, there's nothing that you can do and say that will contradict this. It's not good that man should be alone. If you are a monk, some type of Asian or Indian monk, it is not good that man should be alone. Whoever you are, and it don't mean, well, let's continue reading first.
I will make him an helpmeet for him.
I will make him a helpmeet for him. No matter what you believe, Yahweh know, understand, and believe that man should be it's not good that man should be alone. And he made him a helpmeet. And this helpmeet was not another man. It was not another man. This is not the thing that Yahweh saw from man, another man. This is something that you have allowed yourself to fall prey to. The scriptures say the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? And we have a lot of men that have allowed their heart to be deceived. That's all that is. Your heart has been deceived. But I love him. You're being deceived. But that's all I think about is men. You're being deceived. I just want a man. You're being deceived. It don't matter what you say. You're being deceived. And this deception that you've allowed yourself to fall prey to, according to the scriptures, is an abomination to Yah. But he made a helpmeet. This helpmeet that Yahweh will make, he gave this helpmeet a name. So you won't be confused about what Yahweh will have for you. Starting at the 21st verse.
And Yahweh Elohim caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which Yahweh Elohim had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed.
Yes, because at this time, they didn't even know they was naked. Yahweh gave a name to the very one, the very thing that he will make for man, and it's called a woman. And I don't care what operation you have to try to make you look like a woman, talk like a woman, walk like a woman, dress like a woman, you're not a woman. Period. The only operation that was done to make a woman, Yahweh himself did it. And he know what he doing. These operations that these people doing today is nothing but cosmetic surgery. That's all it is. Cosmetic surgery. You might look like a woman, but you're not a woman at all. And you would never be a woman. Because only Yahweh can make man, and only Yahweh can make woman. But here today, we have men that don't want to be men, and we have women that don't want to be women. We have men that have no interest in a woman. And we have women that don't have no interest in a man. Now, are these men and women more righteous, more holy, and wiser than the one that made them? They will think so. They will say so. They will make the Most High lie just to make themselves correct. And I'm saying and letting you know today that the only one that is correct, the only one that is the truth, is Yahweh himself. But what about this virtuous woman? Since she's holy, since she's set apart, and since she's above all, what about her? And who is the one that set the standards for one that would become a virtuous woman? Because somebody have to set the standards. Somebody will have to walk the walk and talk the talk for us to see with our own eyes a virtuous woman do exist. Now, a virtuous woman is not based on my eyesight and your eyesight. A virtuous woman is based on Yah's eyesight. He knows what a virtuous woman is. But what Yahweh would do, and it was just a great blessing to us, he will give us the various words, the various blueprints, where we can begin to at least try to identify one that might be virtuous. And let me show you the first one that I've seen. And we'll start reading at Genesis, the 15th chapter. And what we're discussing is the virtuous woman of the scriptures. Since the scripture says a virtuous woman, who can find? In the book of Genesis, the 15th chapter, and we're going to start reading at the very first verse.
If after these things, the word of Yahweh came unto Abraham, Abram, in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, O Master Yahweh, what will thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir.
He said, one born in my house is my heir. In other words, Yahweh, you coming to me, you giving me all these accolades and well wishes, but the one thing that I want, you hadn't gave me. Matter of fact, the one in my house and born in my house is a servant. He's my heir to everything. What are you going to give me, seeing I go childless? I don't even have children. In other words, whatever you give me is not going to them. It's going to somebody else. And watch what it says, fourth verse.
And behold, the word of Yahweh came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir.
And he that come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thy heir. Now, don't nothing come out of Abraham other than his seed, which is very, very important. So what is Yahweh telling Abram? Look, this is not going to be your servant. This is going to be your son. And this is one that will come out of your own bowels. And so this is what Abram wanted. But now you want to see who this woman is. And why, when Yahweh, even though Yahweh called Abram, he called Abraham his friend. Abraham was the first man in the scriptures called a prophet. First man in the scripture to ever pray for somebody. First man in the scriptures that had visions and dreams that where Yahweh will come to him. But little do people know, when Yahweh came to Abram, he came to Abraham to establish him in the earth. And how can you be established in the earth with no children? And he could have been blessed to have children with anybody. But Yahweh was not interested in anybody. What you're going to see is Yahweh was only interested in one woman and one woman only. And that's a virtuous woman. So let's pick up this story in the beginning to show you what a virtuous woman looked like and why this question that Abram asked about this heir and about him going childless and about the very one thing that he wanted, and that was a son to carry on his name, to inherit the things that he would do. Watch what this says in the book of Genesis, the 12th chapter. And start at the first verse.
And now Yahweh had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will shew thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as Yahweh had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, in the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And Yahweh appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto Yahweh, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto Yahweh, and called upon the name of Yahweh.
And you notice he's still telling Abraham he's going to give him a seed. And this is confusing to Abraham. He believed it, but it's confusing because he knows he don't have a seed. He don't have a son. He don't have children. Go ahead, continue reading.
And there was famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai, his wife, Behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon.
And look, our people and our fathers, let's just keep it 100. They love beautiful women. And Sarah was beautiful. That's what the word fair means. It means she was beautiful. And our men love beautiful women. And so she was beautiful. So beautiful, he had to take account of her beauty. And this is how he would go to do it. Go ahead.
Therefore, it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, This is his wife, and they will kill me. But they will save you alive.
Yeah, they're going to plot and they're going to kill me and they're going to save you alive.
Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee.
And let me tell you, did Abraham tell her to lie? And no, he didn't. She was his sister, and we'll prove that to you. But he didn't tell her to lie. But what he told her was a very difficult proposition. Now ask yourself, do you have anything in common with this Sarai at this moment, at this time, right now? Do you have anything in common with her where your husband can ask you something as difficult as this? And you would do it without question. Of course, that's why the scripture says, a virtuous woman, who can find? And I'm going to show you how virtuous this woman was. Now, mind you, this is the very first thing that she had to do to demonstrate her loyalty, her faith, her belief, her trust, and her virtues. Now watch what happened.
And it came to pass that when Abram was coming to Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman that she was very fair.
In other words, exactly what Abraham feared. The first thing they recognized, the first thing that they set their eyes on, the first thing that they want to discuss and talk about is how beautiful his wife was, as he stated. And watch what happens.
The princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commanded her before Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house.
In other words, just like he said. Go ahead.
And he entreated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen and he asses and men servants and maid servants and she asses and camels.
Now, what do you think Abram was doing at this time that this was being done? What do you think? Do you think he was saying, man, if this man touch my wife, if this man touch my woman, man, I'm gonna tear some stuff up. Was he sitting back eating and drinking and celebrating? And said, well, if he touch her, you know, she's still mine. You know what I'm saying? We're going to get up out of here, and we're not going to stay. In other words, like was done during the time of slavery, where you had black men and women, they were married, and then master come in and take the black woman to his quarters, and then a man couldn't do nothing about it. And then master will return her back to her husband. No, this was not the case. See, Abraham believed in Yah, and the scripture shows that. Abraham was a faithful man to Yah, and the scripture shows that. And Abraham was a friend of Yah, and the scriptures shows that. And even though the scriptures don't say what Abraham did, just think about what you would do versus what he would do. Of course, you will probably try to tear some stuff up to get your wife back. What she might do is just say, hey, I'm a married woman. And then they would go kill Abraham like he thought they would, like he said they would, and then take you anyway. No. I believe Abraham did the one thing that any righteous man in the scriptures would do in a time such as this. He prayed to Yah. He prayed to the Most High. He sought the Most High. As a matter of fact, the only reason he went through Egypt is because of the Most High. Told him to get out from where he was. So his journey was because of the Most High. And the same Yah that told him to leave his family is the same Yah, I'm sure, he called on, and look what Yah would do. Now, one can debate me and say, look, you're adding to the word of Yah. Well, the only thing Yah can do, Yah give me wisdom to understand certain things. And I know what a man would do for his wife. And if you are as close as Abram was to the Most High, and you having a conversation with the Most High, to the extent that Yahweh told you to leave your family and you did it, Yahweh told you to sacrifice your son and you was going to do it, then you wouldn't talk back to Yah and say, yeah, man, these people got my wife. Watch what happens. 17th verse.
And Yahweh plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidst thou, she is my sister, so I might have taken her to me to wife? Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her, and go thy way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away and his wife and all that he had.
Yeah, sent him away. And Sarah was never touched because he believed in Yah. But this is not even about Abraham. It's about Sarah or Sarai. Now, do you see how virtuous this woman is? According to Proverbs 31, the scripture says that she will not do him evil all the days of her life. And at any point, at any time that you could have justified doing anything, it would have been at this moment, at this time. But no, she believed in her husband. And her husband believed in Yah. And I'm not talking about some husband and wives relationship where you got the husband got some drugs in the house, doing wrong, and then they bust in the house and find the drugs, and then he expect his wife to say, oh, they was my drugs, and she take the fall for him. No, I'm not talking about no dirty stuff like that. I'm talking about a man that you know that the whole story started out that this was a man that Yahweh was separating to him. And she believed in him. And she didn't do him no evil all the days of her life. Now, ask yourself, do you have anything in common with her? Furthermore, you also find another great testimony that I've seen, and watch this. This is in the book of Genesis also. Genesis 16, turn there. And this is the second thing. And what are we discussing? The virtuous women of the scriptures. First verse.
Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold now, Yahweh has restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai.
Now, what woman would do that? In other words, they come to the realization, well, I'm past childbearing age. You got to have some children. So take my handmaid and watch what happens. In other words, this was her idea, not his. Go ahead.
And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife.
Yeah, and she gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his mistress. No. To be his whore. No. To be his wife. She still was a handmaid, but she still was a wife. I don't care if it's a servant or who it is. If you sleeping around with a woman, at some point in time, you got to make her your wife. You don't just sleep with women and just treat women any kind of way. And then at the end, they have no expectations other than the fact that you're sleeping with them. She was given to be a wife. And watch what it says.
And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes.
In other words, she seen that she did this good thing, but then this servant, this mistress was, because it was hers. Now she started treating her different, as if she was better than Sarah. And watch the fifth verse.
And Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. Yahweh judge between me and thee.
Yeah, in other words, let my wrong be upon you, because you see what's going on. You see what's happening. And you had a power to do something about it. And let this Let Yahweh judge between me and you. This ain't about me and her. This is about me and you, because you see what's going down. Go ahead.
But Abram said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face.
Yeah, because she was not about to allow herself to be mistreated after doing this good deed. And wasn't about to let nobody, somebody that she was taking care of, treat her like trash. It just wasn't going down like that. And you didn't see her and Hagar sitting there fighting. She went to Abram first. And why? Because she was a virtuous woman. Watch what it says in the 17th chapter. And this is where you really begin to see her importance. And watch what it says. In the 15th verse.
And Elohim said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto Elohim, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee.
Yeah, Abraham thought this was funny, man. He just laughed within his heart. He wasn't going to be disrespectful and laugh out loud, but he still laughed in his heart. Like, my goodness, I'm 100 years old and Sarah is 90 years old. What kind of deal is this? And when, at least when he had Ishmael, he seemed to be in his, what, upper 80s. But these years later, 10, a little bit more over 10 years later, you going to give me a son of a woman that's 90 years old? And all week long, we were talking about the seven wonders of Yah. And here is a wonder, a miracle, a 90-year-old woman bearing a son. If that's not a wonder, I don't know what a wonder is. And why? Because you're going to see the makeup of this woman. 19th verse.
And Elohim said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Yitzchak. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him.
Yeah, in other words, and Isaac means laughter. That's what it means, because the first person who laughed was Abraham. He was the first person that laughed and thought this was funny. And the rest of his life and the rest of Sarah's life, all they did was laugh every time they seen Isaac, because they knew this was a miracle. And watch what it says in the 18th chapter of Genesis. And what are we talking about? We're talking about a virtuous woman. In the 18th chapter, the first verse, what do it say?
And Yahweh appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My master, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth.
Yeah, he didn't run to Hagar, who was his wife. Of course, she was sent away. But he didn't run to the many other servants he had. Scripture says he had 300 trained servants. So you know some of them had wives. And so there was a lot of women servants as well. He could have ran to anybody and said, look here, make this quickly. But he went to this 90-year-old woman, telling her to make this quickly and knead it in 3 measures and make cakes upon the earth. Go ahead. 7th verse.
And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto a young man. And he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat.
And they did eat, but watch the 9th verse.
And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife?
In other words, they sitting down at dinner, and the only one they want to talk about is Sarah. And why? Watch what it says.
And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with her, with Sarah, after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my master being old also?
Yeah, she let it come out of her mouth. Whereas Abraham, he just laughed in his heart. But go ahead.
And Yahweh said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for Yahweh? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee, according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh.
But you did laugh. Yeah, you laughed. And you thought this thing was funny. And it's okay. That's why his name shall be called Isaac. But let me show you something else that this beautiful woman would do in the book of Genesis, the 20th chapter. Not only is she was a wonder because she had this son at an old age. But watch what this says in Genesis, the 20th chapter, starting at the 1st verse.
And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah.
What in the world going on? Here we go again. This is in the south country. This is between Kadesh and Shur. This is when they were sojourning in Gerar. This was Abimelech, king of Gerar. This has nothing to do with Egypt. That happened in Egypt. This is a whole nother place. And here we go again. And now at this time, Sarah got to be old woman. And here it is. This old woman, still, people want her. And Abraham did what he did the first time. And watch what it says.
But Elohim came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man. For the woman which thou hast taken for she is a man's wife.
She's a man's wife.
But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Master, will thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, She is my sister. And she even herself said, He is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and in the innocency of my hands have I done this. And Elohim said unto him in a dream, Yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee.
This is the first time a man was called a prophet, first time man was told to pray for somebody else. Go ahead.
And thou shalt live, and if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all thine that are thine. Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told all these things in their ears, and the men were sore afraid.
Yeah, because the Most High came to him and started talking to him just because of this woman. Go ahead.
Then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, What hast thou done unto us, and what have I offended thee, that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, What sawest thou, that thou hast done this thing? And Abraham said, Because I thought, Surely the fear of Elohim is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. And yet indeed she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. And it came to pass, when Elohim caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said unto her, This is my kindness, which thou shalt shew unto me. At every place whither we shall come, say of me, He is my brother.
And I mean every place they went, this is what Sarah did. Who can find a virtuous woman? Did not she know she was putting her life in danger? Yes, she did. Did not she know another man could take her? Yes, she knew. Did she not know what was at stake? Yes, she did. But a virtuous woman, who can find? Continue reading.
And yet indeed, verse 13.
14.
And it came, and Abimelech took sheep and oxen and gave them unto Abraham and restored him Sarah, his wife. And Abimelech said, Behold, my land is before thee. Dwell where it pleases thee. And unto Sarah he said, Behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes unto all that are with thee and with all others. Thus she was reproved. So Abraham prayed unto Elohim, and Elohim healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. For Yahweh had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife.
Because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. And look, she still had not had Isaac. She still hadn't even had him. And watch the 21st verse, 21st chapter, first verse.
And Yahweh visited Sarah as he had said, and Yahweh did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which Elohim had spoken to him. And Abraham called his name Isaac. called the son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as Elohim had commanded him.
And so this is, oh yeah, continue reading.
And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, Elohim hath made me to laugh, so that all that will hear will laugh with me. And she said, Who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned.
And so this is Sarah. This is this virtuous woman. But what made her so virtuous? Because she stayed committed. She stayed the course. She did not deviate whatsoever. And Abram asked her to do something that most people see as impossible. And the only reason they see as impossible is because they don't believe Yahweh will enter in and swoop down and do the things that he say ain't nothing too hard for him to do. Once you come to the realization Yah is with you, then who can be against you? Yes, Abraham did fear going into these places. And yes, Sarah did give Abraham another woman other than herself, because she thought she could not have children. But in the end, they both stayed committed not only to one another, because this is what a virtuous woman would do, but they also stayed committed to Yahweh. If not, Yahweh would never, ever put his name, take this man's name and attach it to him, where he's now called the Elohim of Abraham. Watch what it says in the book of Isaiah. Once again, to show you the great virtues of this woman. In the book of Isaiah 51, the scripture says this at the very first verse.
Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek Yahweh, look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged.
Now he's only talking to people who's interested in following after righteousness. He's only talking to people who's seeking Yah. If those two things you're doing, then look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are dead. And then watch what it says in the second verse.
Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you.
This is why we're looking unto Sarah. This is why we're talking about the virtuous women of the scriptures. Since we need to look back, since we need to look at righteousness, since we need to look on how we must seek the Most High, who do all things for those who he love, look unto Abraham and look unto Sarah. Watch what it says. Second verse again.
Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. For Yahweh shall comfort Zion. He will comfort her all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like a garden of Yahweh. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody.
Yeah, all that will be found, because when you have the right companionship, a companionship of holiness, a companionship of oneness, togetherness, led by a righteous man and followed by a virtuous woman, this is what the Almighty designed for man and woman. And this man and this woman was the example of the righteous order in which we were to live. And Sarah is the first virtuous woman of the scriptures. Watch what it says in the book. Since we are to follow after righteousness, since we are to seek Yah, and since we are to look unto the rock whence we were hewn, and the hold of the pits whence we are digged. Watch what it says in the book of Jeremiah, the 6th chapter. Jeremiah 6. And start reading at the 16th verse.
Thus saith Yahweh, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old path.
Why do you think we're reading about Sarah? Because if you stand as Yahweh told you to stand, stand ye in the ways. What ways? The ways of the ancients. The ways of the past generations. And when you stand, then it said, and see. And what do you do after you see? And ask for the old path. Why? Why would you want something old? Why would you want to stand in that way? Why would you want to see what's behind you instead of what's before you? Why? Because it says, where is the good way? In other words, that's where the good way is. And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they say, we will not walk therein. In other words, nobody want to look at Sarah. What we want to look at Sarah for? The way she might have dressed. The way she might have acted, the way she ran her household, the way she dealt with her servants, the way she did everything, treated her husband. Who want to look at that? Who want to talk about that? Who want to stand like that? Well, only the righteous and only those that seek Yah. Because at some point, at some time, you're going to know that the only people that's going to be found written are those, Sarah. Why do you think she's written in the book? Because this is the example. This is the testimony. This is the life that Yahweh will have us to look back to so that we will know what please him. Watch what the scriptures say in the book of Psalm 37. In the book of Psalm 37, this is what it says. two things I want you to read. The first thing is in the 23rd verse. Read that.
The steps of a good man are ordered by Yahweh, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for Yahweh upholdeth him with his hand.
Yeah, because a good man, the steps of a good man are ordered by Yahweh. In other words, we've been teaching you Yahweh's orders, and they will do things in certain steps. They will do things in certain ways because Yahweh is ordering their steps. So they will see step number one. This is what we're doing tonight. Step number one is look unto the rock from whence you are healed. And who is that? For the women, it's Sarah. That's where you come from. And Yahweh is not going to have you look at someone that's inferior to a virtuous woman. No, he wants you to see the virtuous woman. And if you don't see everything in her, then we got the virtuous women of the scriptures who you can see. But make no mistake about it, she's number one. And watch the 37th verse of the same chapter.
Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace.
Yeah, mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. In other words, whether this is man or whether it's woman, you mark them. You all the upright. You write them down, and you want to know everything about that person. What did they do that was so pleasing to Yahweh that he will bring her a child in her old age? Why would he use her as the instrument to work his miracle? And why would she give her husband another wife? Why would she do such a thing if she is a virtuous woman? And why would she go into other cities, other countries, other lands, and not say a mumbling word other than she's Abraham's sister, knowing she's Abraham's wife? Why would she do this? Because she's a virtuous woman. There's another scripture that plainly lets you know one of the kings was looking out the window and looking at her and watching her, and they were sporting together. In other words, most couples, we look out the window, they fighting together. They fighting with one another, arguing with one another, cussing one another out. And you can see the disdain that the woman had for the man, because she's fighting and arguing, correcting him right in front of the whole public. And it's the worst thing you want to see. He's saying yes, she's saying no. He's saying up, she's saying down. It just looked like total madness. But not Abraham and Sarah, they were on the same page. So when they were spied on and looked out the window, you know what they was doing? Playing with each other, loving each other, having fun with each other. This is what they was doing, because this is what a virtuous woman would do. Why you think the scriptures say, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace? All you got to do is be a Sarah. Then you will be a virtuous woman. Because Sarah was the first of his kind. Why do you think Yahweh said it? In the scriptures, it'll say the mother of all nations. No, she's the queen of all nations. Sarah means queen, don't mean mother. She's the queen. A virtuous woman who can find. And we're going to bring them to you. We're going to show you these virtuous women. And these virtuous women, they're going to be of our people. And there's only one that won't be of our people, but she was just probably better than one of our people. And we're going to bring them to you. And why is this important? Because a lot of our people look outside of an Israelite woman. And there is no one closer to Yahweh than Israel. He made Israel for his praise, for his glory, for his honor. And if you want a virtuous woman, just like if you want a faithful man, your best bet is to look at Israel. So until tomorrow, Yahweh love you. So do I. Shalom.
To you, my Yadu, I lift up my soul. And trusting you, he always kept me whole. And left my enemies deep in their holes. Let none that wait on Yahweh be ashamed. But shame on those who sin without a cause.